Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk to you in particular about being baptized and what happens when you're baptized and how I got baptized. How many of y'all want to hear where I got baptized? Come on, somebody. Anybody? You're going to hear about it whether you want it or not. So I got baptized where Jesus got baptized, in the River Jordan. Jordan means like death, where there was a moving across. There was something happened. And so I was like 14 or 15. I think I was 15. And my dad decides we're going to go baptize me in the River Jordan because he thinks that's going to fix me. Come on, somebody, you know what I mean? And, I always say, you know, my mother-in-law actually went there this last year to get baptized. And I said, hey, whatever you do, don't die over there. She said, why? I said, well, if you do die, make sure they ship you home. She said, why? I said, because I heard people get resurrected over there. Come on, somebody. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean it. But anyway, the night before I got baptized, we'd been on like a 13-day trip, like touring Israel, which is really neat. You should do it and see where Jesus lived and all these different, you know, places of interest. It's huge. And then my dad's kind of done, though, because now we've been eating fish that you can see the head. How many of y'all don't think you should ever look a fish in the eye before you eat it? Raise your hand. How many of y'all, you don't care? Raise your hand. I want to see who you are. You scare me. I don't want to go camping with you. So my dad looks at it. He's like, okay, we're going to go get something to eat tonight. So we jump in this taxi. But the guy doesn't speak English. So my dad's trying to tell him, we want, because, you know, if you don't know the language, you should always, like, speak slower and louder. That helps, right? We want American food. He doesn't know. All he knows is we're Americans, and we would love, and my dad did not like pop culture music. He was only country music. So he thinks we want to listen to Michael Jackson's new album, and we want to take a big tour of everything we had seen all day. Can you imagine that? So now, instead of going to McDonald's or whatever, we're touring everything my dad already saw, and I'm loving it because he's like, it's a thriller. And my dad's like, ah! So that was the night before I got baptized. Had nothing to do with my sermon, but now you know. Come on, somebody, give it up for Jesus. I want to go to this passage in the Bible. In Matthew 3, verse 13, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Can you imagine the responsibility of baptizing Jesus? Would that be heavy, you know? Now, you're going to take the context of this now. John is the cousin of Jesus. Remember, if you read the Bible at all, you know that when Elizabeth comes to Jesus' mother to say that she's pregnant, all of a sudden, John, in his mother's womb, gets filled with the Holy Ghost and power. How many of y'all know that's when you know you're a bad mama jamma little baby when that happens, right? You're just close to your cousin. It's like an umbilical cord of the Holy Ghost. He's like, or even no teeth. It's just like, this is going on. He gets filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen to that. So now John lives his life with his cousin. And then now he knows that Jesus needs to be baptized. And part of the reason why he needs baptism in water is because it had been foretold in the scripture. Verse 15, it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be. Come on, John, you got to let this happen to fulfill all righteousness. This needs to happen. He had to obey. May I suggest to you that there are certain things in your life that God wants to do, he needs to do, and you're called to do, but until you fulfill the thing that you're supposed to do, he can't do this new thing in your life. In other words, a lot of people would do right if right showed up, but we got to do right when it feels wrong, and if we do what's right because it's right long enough, right shows up. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. There's the fulfillment of Scripture. I mean, everybody has I wish my marriage would be better. I wish my kids would be better. I wish, and we need less wishbone, more backbone to say, hey, I know God said this, so I need to do it. For instance, church attendance. You know, it's very easy now, especially, you know, as we're busy, we can just pull it up on our phone and watch online. And that's fine occasionally, or if you live in Timbuktu. But if you're here and you're in proximity to the church, the Bible said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more. So you might not be experiencing the breakthroughs that you need, and you're experiencing a lot of breakdowns that you don't need, only because you did not obey the thing that he said for you to do. Come on, I'm doing better preaching than you are, amen, right now. Come on, Weldon. I'm talking to you right now. I'm saying that God is starting something in you, and he wants to do something big, 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 big. Muy, muy grande in your life. But he can't do it because you won't do it. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching better than your amen. I know it's tight, but it's right. Oh, yeah, I don't mind preaching by myself. I do it all the time. Sometimes I even rhyme, even though it doesn't pay a dime. Somebody, come on. So here we are. He says, look, you need to do it to fulfill righteousness. Now, verse 16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And I love this. The heavens opened up to him. Now, I was at our city preaching a while ago, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I never heard this before. But number one, we see that it's heavens, plural, not heaven. In other words, there's layers of glory, layers of heaven. And then it said when he was baptized or he was immersed in water, heaven opened up to him. May I suggest to you that one act of obedience opens up a heaven and a door of opportunity that you've been praying for, but it won't happen until you do this part. Come on, don't give me a Tiger Woods golf clap today. I need somebody to put their faith on this. I need Weldon to get into this. I need. Everybody shout amen. Amen. So he said, heavens opened up to him. Now picture this. When all of a sudden it says that there was a dove descended down out of heaven. Type of the Holy Spirit. This dove shows up. The sound effects are the best I can do. Come on, somebody. Boom. And it says, then there was a sound in heaven. Notice that your movement on earth causes a sound to move in heaven. But if you don't do what you need to do down here, he can't do what he needs to do up there. I'm answering problems. I'm solving problems for you right now. So when you make a move, heaven makes a move. That's why the Bible said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, now get this. So now it says there's a voice that comes from heaven. Dove comes in, boom, and hears a voice, and it says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well. Please. Okay, so he hears this. This is my beloved son. Now, this is important. Here's the reason why. Yeah, you remember later now, Jesus is led by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Because we know temptation, trials, and troubles comes from the devil. God doesn't tempt anybody. He is good, and he does not tempt evil to try to trip up his kids. So the devil came to tempt him. And now it's been 40 days, and Jesus has been on fast, so he hasn't eaten anything. So he wants to tempt him in the area of food. And how many of y'all like me? And if you haven't eaten in 40 days, that would be where the devil needs to get you. Come on, somebody. You could have like a beautiful blonde walk by you like, I don't care. I'm hungry right now. I'm hangry. Forget that. I'm focused on this. Okay, so the enemy comes in and says, if you are the Son of God, notice he questions who he is. The enemy will try to get you to question who you are. That's why you got to listen to songs like, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. That's what I listen to. So now when the devil says, you're not acting like a Christian, you go, I'm not acting like one. I am a Christian. I am anointed. Now, I might have slapped a trucker a minute ago, but he knew I was going to do that when he picked me. He knew in all my frailty. He knew in all my jacked upness. Come on, somebody ought to help me. That I would be the person to do what only I could do. And there would be a hole in space in the world if I was trying to be somebody else. That's why you got to be you, because nobody else can be a better you than you. And there'll be a hole in the purpose of the world if you ain't being you. And if you're black, be black. Come on. If you're sassy, be sassy. If you're if you're a poetry guy, be a poetry guy. If you're a hunter, go kill something. But do whatever it is you do and fulfill your purpose and understand God's not basing his love for you on what you do. He's basing his love for you on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he obeyed God. Somebody ought to help me right now. And he submitted to God's call. And he went down to that Jordan and he crossed over for us, and hell doesn't like it, but hell can just go to hell. Yeah, I said it. You know, as a preacher, you don't get to cuss much, but if you can ever sneak it into a sermon, come on, somebody. It feels so good. That's Christian cussing right there. I can just fit it in. That's so nice. So now, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread. Now, you know, Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have made them Krispy Kreme donuts. Let's just thank God for Krispy Kreme. God, we thank you right now for Krispy Kreme donuts. We thank you that you gave somebody the idea to put glass on a wall so we could see the goodness and the mercy of God that was coming towards us. We thank you, God, that we can see it fall down and be baptized. Come on, somebody, immersed in glaze and come out hot with the hot sign off. God, you are good. If you never do anything else, you gave somebody a good idea. And all the cops said, amen. It's such a stereotyping, right? It's like, cops like donuts. Well, of course they do. Everybody likes donuts. Come on. So he could have done it, but he didn't. But notice, he left out, the devil did this intentionally. He left out one of the most important parts. Come on now. He left out the part, my beloved son. He said, if you are the son of God. He did not say, if you are the beloved son of God, because then that would have triggered something in his emotions going, hey, hang on a minute. I am loved by him. I am favored by him. I am equipped by him. I'm anointed by him. And yes, I haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, but oh, I'm strengthened by the Spirit of God that is on the inside of me. And I'm not doing my will, but I'm doing your will, because he would have been reminded of the Father's love. And that's why the devil tries to keep you out of this house, because I'm not here today to preach to you about who you're not. You already know that, and the devil reminded you of that. But I'm here to tell you that you're born again, that God loves you, that he gave himself for you. Somebody ought to help me right now. That's why we go to church, is to give back praise and say, oh God, we love you. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for going to hell for us. Thank you for being baptized for us. Thank you for being spotless for us. Thank you for being God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Adonai, the great I am, the wheel within the middle of the wheel, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. You are the great I am. Come on, somebody ought to give him praise for about 10 seconds. Don't let me just preach to you. Come on, somebody ought to praise him by yourself. Come on, somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to say amen. Come on, Weldon. Come on, Earth City. I just decided I have to leave in 10 minutes. Or I could stay and just stream it and waste my time on the highway. And I do like the song, Life is a Highway. But today, I'm going to stay here probably till the 12:30. I'll go back to the 12:30. But right here, I got this baby in me. It's halfway out, and I got to deliver the rest of this. Come on, somebody else. Come on, Earth City. Go with me on this, Earth City. Go with me on Wellness. Come on, wave your hand if you're cool with that. If I ever stream to you, it ain't because I'm lazy. It's because you needed more information. So shout, I'm the one the Lord loves. Now, when the dove showed up, boom, the theologians say, if you study it out, and some of the commentaries say this as well, when the Holy Ghost showed up, he's so big, and he's so powerful, and the voice of the rumble was so big, that it actually caused a massive wake in the river. Now, the only way I know to describe this is when I was growing up, we were poor, like real poor. Like, we thought our neighbors next door were rich because they had a galvanized pool. And it had rusted out, like it had probably been on a farm somewhere sitting in the mud. And so it had holes in it, like little rust parts. But they had shoved, like, white towels in it that they had probably stole from the Holiday Inn. Come on, anybody ever heard of that? Come on, raise your hand. Don't act like you ain't got soap or towels that say Days Inn on it. And so it's there, and I would look at them, and we didn't have a pool, but so I thought they were rich. They had a rusty pool, but they were rich because all I had was a hose. He's a maniac, maniac on the floor. Okay, so I'm there, and my cousin says, I saw them, and they were leaving out of town. He's spending the summer with me. We could cross over the fence, and we could go in the pool. Now, I knew my dad would have a cow. This isn't going to happen, because my dad was the guy that said, you don't even walk through people's yards. Like a shortcut, you walk all the way to the corner. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So he talked me into it because it was hot. It was July. I understand. That's probably when Nelly wrote the song, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I got it, and he talked me into it. Now, you got to picture this. My cousin, he's a couple years younger than me, and he loved to eat. So he was big boned and retained water. Like, he always wore Husky jeans. But husky jeans look like skinny jeans on a rapper. Come on, somebody. It was just, but he was big. Everybody shout, he was big. And so we snuck over there, and it was fine. My dad wouldn't have had to know. Nobody would have to know. We're kicking around in the pool, making circles around the pool. You know, we're kind of hitting our foot on the rust. We're like, oh, man, we cut ourselves. Probably could have died, lost a toe. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my big cousin decides he's going to get up on the deck and jump in the pool. He doesn't tell me he's going to do it. He just says, cannonball! Boom, comes in. The pool's only this deep. And his whole big old body, he's coming at me. I look up and I'm like, ah! He comes flying in the water with all his bigness. Boom! And all the water just starts splashing out. And my cousin and my brother and everybody's screaming and yelling. Here comes my dad. Come on, somebody. My dad's looking out. We done hopped the fence. And we could have been fine, but something really, really big showed up. I'm telling you that's exactly the way I see it in my mind's eye when God was baptizing Jesus and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed up. Somebody ought to shout amen. You couldn't hold him back. You couldn't set him back. The whole waves of voof, voof, voof because something big jumped in the pool. Look at your neighbor and say something big is jumping in your pool. Come on, tell him. Come on, Weldon. Come on, our city. Tell him. Look at your other side, that second choice, and tell them something big is coming into your pool. It's undeniable. Now, here's the kicker. Sometimes you don't realize the significance of a moment. Today, you were asked to fill out a card. Part of the reason why is because I pray for you every day. Our pastors pray for you. So we don't pick up necessarily a picture unless you went to Growth Track and took a picture, but we pray over you. God, I thank you, Lord. We pray right now for Eric Dewar. I pray for Eric. God, I pray right now for Greg Crane. God, I pray. And we pray, but we don't know if you're saved or not saved if you didn't check the card. So I could be praying for your salvation. God, get them saved. And you're already saved. Now I need to say, God, now open up the heavens for them. That's one of the reasons. Then the second reason you were handed the card that you need to fill out at all campuses and drop in later is because if you haven't been water baptized, this next weekend is the weekend to do it, and if you haven't been water baptized, or you were back in the day, but you fell away from the Lord, you need to do it again, being re-immersed in water, because when you go down, you're identifying with the death of Jesus. Then when you come back up, You're identifying with the resurrection of Jesus. So you might have went down bound and you come up free. You might have went down with cancer and you come up healed. Because at that Jordan moment, Jesus said, this is the place of death. Here is the moment where the addiction dies. Here's the moment where the suicide devil leaves you alone. There has to be a complete immersion moment in your life. That's why Jesus did it. And that's why you have to do it. You're not smarter than Jesus. You got to obey so you don't stray, so you can do what he say. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You got to do it. Well, what's the thing that you're supposed to be doing that you're just not doing? You could be one moment away from something and not even know. May I suggest that perhaps there's greatness all around you and you don't even know it? One of the reasons why I know greatness is all around you is the person next to you is really great. Because if they weren't really great, Jesus wouldn't have died for them. But sometimes you really underestimate the power of the moment. You treat people different. If I knew who they were, I would treat them different. Maybe you don't even know who you are. You're the one the Lord loves. And my dad said I'm no good. Your dad was a fool. Your mama said I wasn't no good. She didn't know. Maybe she wasn't properly loved, so she didn't know how to love. So she tried to do to you what she had saw done to her. And so now you need to come to church and hear what the Father says about you. And you are the one that the Lord loves. The reason why you're overeating, the reason why you're overdrinking, the reason why you're abnormally using something is because you don't feel loved, because you don't love you. The reason why you can't love your neighbor is yourself, because you don't even like you. But you should like you because you're special. Because if you were not special, Jesus would not have died to you. And so the devil's always telling you, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. David, you're no good. Go on. And then the demon says, come on and sing it again. You're no good, you're no good. You have to silence that stupid record going in your head and say, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Right? I'm going to give you another chance to clap because I'm preaching and you're spectating. You kind of watch. Oh, yeah. That's cute. I like that. That's nice. No, I'm not here to just talk to you. I'm here to set you free today. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Not just immersed in baptism. Get immersed in the Word. Get immersed in the church. Go to Growth Track. Get some new friends. Delete some people. Some of y'all this afternoon, y'all just delete people out of your phone. You'll know who they are when they text you at 2 a.m. What's up, boo? You know who that is. And they need to go because God can't do the new thing and you hold on the old thing. You can't be who God's calling you to be and be who you used to be. So I'm identifying some areas that perhaps you can move into to be who you're called to be. Everybody shout amen. Amen. So you can be around greatness and not know it. When Jesus asked John to baptize him, he knew he was great. That's my cousin, but he's the son of God. But sometimes you don't know it. I was in Australia a few days ago, and it's already Monday there, right? So the time change, it's a whole kicker, man. And then 17 hours in a seat flying there, and I got there to do a bunch of preaching stuff, and I had breakfast scheduled the next day with John Gray, if you don't know him, a big African-American guy, big boy. And so he wanted to have breakfast in the morning, so I went to have breakfast with John, and then Joel Houston, who's, Hillsong Young and Free, and then Earl McClellan, a pastor that preaches here sometimes, Great Church of Dallas. So we're all four sitting there, and then all of a sudden, this guy walks up to John and says, "What's up?" And John goes, "What's up, CT?" I don't know who CT is. And then CT looks at me and says, "Frank, St. Louis is my favorite town, man. We're in Australia." I assume he's a preacher because there's a lot of preachers that kind of fangirl over our church and what we've done. So I'm like, "What's up? Where you pastor?" "I don't pastor." "What do you do?" "That's early. I had breakfast, no coffee." "I'm a singer." "What kind of songs?" It's like pulling teeth with you, man. So John thinks that I'm playing him. Joel thinks I'm playing because they know who he is. I don't know who he is. I'm like, "So what do you do?" He said, "Well, I write songs." And I said, "What kind of songs you write?" And they said, "PD, that's Chris Tomlin." And I said, "How many of y'all know? I just freaked out. He had a flat bill. I didn't know him. He knows St. Louis because he loves St. Louis. He loves Faith Church. He's Chris Tomlin. He knows me. I don't really know him in this room. I don't expect to see Chris Tomlin in Australia at breakfast in the morning. So I'm next to greatness, but I don't know it. And all I know is I just freak out, flush whiter than I am, and I go, "Well, I know this. You're a good, good father. It's who you are." Come on, sir. Undescribable, unimaginable. And he laughed and they laughed, but they go, "You really didn't know who he was. We thought you were playing around." And I said, "I didn't know. But may I suggest to you right now, Weldon, may I suggest to you, our city, that sometimes you really don't know who you are, because you, if you really knew who you were, you would drive down the road, people flipping you off, and you're like, 'Doesn't matter because the Lord loves me.' People can fire you and you go, 'Oh yeah, the Lord loves me. I was looking at a job and I found this one.' Except somebody say, 'I'm leaving you because you're ugly. I must not be too ugly because Jesus died for me.' Come on, you just walk around crazy. 'Oh yeah, I love you. Jesus loves me. He loves me. You can walk through the mall. He loves me. He loves me. Yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh." "You're crazy." "Yeah. You lost your mind." "I have. I lost my mind. And now I have the mind of Christ. And if this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, that raised him from the dead, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us." Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm talking, this isn't a Baptist thing, a Presbyterian thing, a Catholic thing. This is a Jesus thing. And we are anointed, appointed, qualified, and we are who he said we are. But you got to know who you are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sit down now. Sit down, sit down. I got a little bit of time. Because now we would be over and I would have to leave. How many of y'all ain't ready for me to go right now? How many of you are ready for me to go? Raise your hand if you're ready for me to go right now. Just checking to see if there are any stupid people in here right now. Okay. Now here's what happens. When Jesus got baptized and the Holy Spirit showed up, "This is my son in whom I'm well." Please, please, please. Come on, go with me. Please, please, please. Y'all good at that. Okay, so watch this. There's always a time and a moment when you hear the word and then Satan comes immediately to steal the word. In my life, as we speak, I got a lot of heaven and a decent amount of hell. You'd never know it because I don't preach what happens to me. I don't preach that the guy who tried to abduct my daughter that's wanted for multiple times of sexual basically taking advantage of a minor that they didn't do anything and they let him out. And I'm not into all the stuff that happens in my life, but I'm not here to tell you about what happens to me, the bad stuff. I'm going to glory in the glory of the goodness of God, and I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing, and I will reap if I faint not. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. Somebody ought to help me, and He will direct my path. But I think it's only fair, Weldon or City, that I tell you that ain't everything perfect in my life. I'm going through hell all the time. You just think about it. Common sense. Who, if you were the devil, who would you try to take out? Me and my big mouth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I am who He says I am. You're laughing, you're crying because I'm preaching, not because I'm educated, but I baptized myself into this. And I go, if I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to be one bad motor scooter, all energy in, Holy Ghost tongue talking, come on, fire breathing, baptized, spitting on people on the front row. I'm going to give it my all because I ain't going to go out and go, oh, yeah, well, the Lord, you never know what He's going to do. And He's good. And I might say stuff that I shouldn't say, and I should read from a teleprompter. And I need to be politically correct. I ain't never going to be politically correct because I'm a preacher, not a politician. Somebody ought to shout amen. And you need a preacher to tell you the truth. You might not like the truth, but the truth is good. So you got heaven and you got hell. And you're going through it. But the worst thing you can do is to close your eyes and hope He gets better. I'm a pilot, okay? I have my bag out back. I got a license from the FAA that says I can fly airplanes. So that's what I do, okay? So when I get in and you leave Sierra uniform, Sierra, which is Spirit, and they clear you to the Forestell VOR at 8,000 feet, and then they clear you to Lambert at 10,000 feet, you're talking to control, and they're telling you what to do, and you're moving, and that's what I used to do for my daddy, is I was his worship leader and his pilot. Now see, but the issue is I have to listen to the tower. But more than one time, I've been in situations to where bad stuff happened. Like parts fell off. Ah! Lost all power, just me and Nicole, over the Smoky Mountains. And it goes black. I didn't look at her and go, God! Ah! Ah! We're going to die! Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No. I said, it's going to be all right. I got this. And on the inside, I was going, God, I hope he don't die. But how many of you can't close your eyes and hope it gets better. You got to find out the training in which you were trained on, and you rely on dead reckoning and equipment that they had back in the day. But if you don't know the word, come on somebody, then the thief comes to steal the word. So you don't go to church. You don't hear the word. You don't read the Bible. Then you go, ah! That's why a lot of y'all have spiritual crashes. Wonder what happened to them. I hear this all the time when they say, well, small airplanes kill people. No, people kill small airplanes. No plane ever got up and said, I'm going to go destroy myself today. Some idiot who didn't know what he was doing, flying in weather that he shouldn't be flying in, went and done something stupid. You got to know that the enemy is going to try to get you at your weakest moment when you're being tempted by the devil, and he's going to tell you, don't go to church, don't go to growth chat, don't get baptized. You're no good anyway. Who are you? You don't act like a Christian. I'm not acting like a Christian. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you're going to die early. With long life, he will show his salvation to me. He satisfies my mouth with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagle. I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. That's what a trained mind does. See, people just think you went to church today. Oh, that's nice. Why don't you find a church closer to house? Like, why do you drive? A church alive is worth the drive. You get to the house of God. You hear the right information. The right information gives you revelation, and then you're free. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. Come on. I'm a child of God.
Yes, I am.
I want a Beyonce fan right now. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Okay, that's enough. I'm trying to be worship leader right now. It was fun for a minute. Okay, so let's get this before we leave. Sometimes between the prayer and amen and the manifestation takes a while. So anybody in here like candy? Raise your hand if you like candy. I'm like candy. Okay, I like candy. Oh, don't cue me. I'll cue you later in the day. Thank you, though. So, candy. Anybody here like candy? Okay, so you put, anybody ever had Pop Rocks and you put Pop Rocks in your mouth? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, all campuses, Pop Rocks. Anybody, Pop Rocks on the table don't do anything. But when the Pop Rocks hit your mouth and the saliva in your mouth hits it, it starts going, and it's a whole lot of goodness in your mouth. Come on, somebody. That's what Pop Rocks do. But Pop Rocks alone, they're not activated. So that's why the word has to be in your heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So just like Pop Rocks, the word will not work in your life until you start getting into your mouth and you start framing your world with your words. Instead of saying, I might lose my job. I don't know what's going to happen. No, no, no. You don't do that. You put it in here and you start saying the word instead of what's happening in the world. And the world is confused. You can't watch CNN and Fox and be happy. It's like, delete it. Like, clear it out of your world. You don't want to watch that mess. It's a bunch of mess. Why do we want to hear what's happening in the world? We already know what's happening in the world. We need to know what's happening in the Word, and then we put the Word in our heart, and then we can change the world. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. You're an overcomer. You're chosen of God. You're called with a purpose. And the enemy has tried to make you think that, it doesn't matter what you say. Yes, it does. You have to say it. Now, as we start wrapping this up, watch this. The Bible said that we would say unto the mountain, not think into the mountain. Your mountain won't move until your mouth moves. So you got to open up your mouth and you got to say what you want to have happen in your life. When God saw dark, he said, light. So we must model that behavior, but we must model that behavior through obedience. Again, obedience is the blessing exchange. If you're a note taker, write that down. Obedience is the blessing exchange. Shout it with me, all campuses. Why? Obedience is the blessing exchange. So my daughter, Ashton, she was up here singing a while ago. That girl, we were in Australia together, and there's a picture of 20,000 people in this Coliseum, and Hillsong Young and Free is there, and she's got on her Hillsong Young and Free, like, gear. And so the inventor, basically, Brian Houston, he is Brian Houston of Hillsong. He started the church and all the music. And I told Brian, you got Hillsong Young and Free. I have Hillsong Young and Expensive. Hillsong Young and Expensive. So he gets up, 20,000 people around the world. And he goes, my friend David Craig is here today, and I have Hillsong Young and Free, and he has Hillsong Young and Expensive. My point is that she pretty much gets what she wants because she's my only daughter, and she's so cute. And she comes up to me and she just says stuff that just melts me. And her mama has to try to rein me in. But it's not like, she doesn't even have to get to my credit card. She has my credit card. Come on, somebody ought to understand what I'm saying right now. But sometimes when she's not doing what she needs to be doing, I have to say, give me that credit card back. And usually it's because her mama said, go get that credit card right now. Go down there, get that credit card. And so I got to go down there and tell her, your mama told me to bring this card back. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. But my point is that obedience opens up all that I have. She can be young and expensive because whatever I have is hers based on, not that I don't love her, based on her obedience. And may I suggest to you at our city in Weldon and in our online campus that maybe there's just one or two clicks, and you know what they are. God told you not to do it anymore, and you're doing it. And I'm not wanting you to feel bad. I'm just saying it feels so good to feel good that I want you to feel good. So I don't want you to temporarily think you're feeling good by doing this, and it's really not good. It's actually the wages of sin is death. But if you will get baptized and you leave the old stuff down and come back up, it's not that that thing won't stalk you anymore. It's like, I got baptized. I want my money back. Well, we didn't charge you.
I got the t-shirt that says I was made new, but I wasn't made new.
Because that thing will still stalk you. But when it comes back and tries to get you back to where you were, you go, hang on a minute. No, I've been made new. I'm not going with that anymore. I'm in a group. Come on, somebody. I'm in a small group. I'm making this big church little. I went through growth track. You need to do that today. I signed up. I put this in because you only get out of the bank what you put in the bank. So if you go up with your ATM and you want to take out money and you didn't put no money in there, ain't no money for you because you didn't put no money in that. So if you're going to put the word in your heart, when you're pressured, when you're stressed, when you're maxed out, what's going to happen? The word's going to come out when the word's in there. But if you're full of the world, it doesn't work. And here's the last thing I want to say. I think. Raise your hand if it's been okay with you today. Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. Okay, so watch this. I have a son who's not biologically my son. So when Austin, or Nicole and I got married, she had a son. And he was 7. And I'd never been a dad before. I never read a book on parenting before. All I know is I got this kid that's mine, but not really mine. So now I have to try. I've never seen it modeled. I got to try to raise this kid the best way. So I would listen to the Holy Spirit who would say this to Austin. Not in a big voice like, hey, tell this to Austin. It was a knowing. It's a knowing. It's a women's intuition. It's a hunch. It's a seems like. And Holy Ghost like, I got a name. Come on, son. So I would tell stuff to Austin like this. Austin, you have 2 dads. I do. Yeah. You got a good dad in Dallas, and you got me here. Okay. Now he's going to play ball with his dad. And he's telling him stuff like, you're going to be this, swing batter, batter, swing. You're going to be that, you're going to be that. And I'd always tell him, Austin, you might not be a ball player. But I tell you who, no matter what you do, you're going to be successful. Speaking, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're going to make it. And I spoke so much love, beloved son. I spoke so much life into him. People ask me today, how is it that he's 28 and he's campus pastoring today in Florida? How is that? Why? When he went through college, I was telling him, you're going to be good. You're going to be great. I never thought he would be a preacher. I thought for sure he would go with his father. That's his dad. His dad lives in Dallas. He's a great cusser. He's like an incredible cusser. Like, I always admired his ability to cuss. Like, he's one of the greatest cussers I've ever. Anybody ever heard anybody that, like, some people try to cuss and they're not cool, but then somebody's like, you are a one really good cusser. I mean, he's great. And that's one of the things I told Austin. He's a phenomenal, your dad is, he's a linguistic master of cussing. So when Austin now is sitting on the front row at Earth City, God speaks to him that he's supposed to break it up with this girl that he's been dating for 3 years. How many of y'all know sometimes the thing God tells you to do sounds good, but it hurts like heck, right? And so he wants to break it off. A few days later, it happens, and he calls me, his dad, not his father. He calls me up, and he says, oh, man, Papa, I need to talk to you. You know, this happened, and then this fight ensued, and the next thing I know, I told him we were done. And so I'm talking to him on the phone, and I'm crying with him and loving him for like an hour. And then it's like 2 in the morning. I'm like, where are you? He said, I'm at home. So I walk outside, and there he is in our driveway, and he's just laying in Sunset Hills on the asphalt under the moon. I shut the phone off, and we're both sitting there in suits and ties, and we're just sitting there crying together, and I was loving him. I was showing him that even in pain, even in disappointment, even in trouble, even in trial, somebody ought to help me right now, that I'm your father, and I don't have all the answers like he does. Somebody ought to help me right now, but I'm by your side, and I love you. So then when it was time for him to take the job with his dad, he came to me and said, I know it makes sense to go with my dad, but I can't do it. I got to stay with my father. And I cried like a baby. And we put him in Florida, and he's a campus pastor. And then he's up pastoring. And last year, he's up cracking the word. And he gives an invitation because his dad was on vacation. And he's praying on the inside that maybe his dad wouldn't go to hell. And he calls the altar call. And his dad slips up his hand. And then his stepmom slips up his hand. And then his little brother slips up his hand. And then his little sister slips up his hand. Somebody ought to help me right now. This is what happens when you love people that aren't really connected to you. This is what happens when you're a stepdad. This is what happens when you're at work. Come on, give me that camera. I'm talking to you right now. God loves you in spite of you. He doesn't care what you did. He knows what you are. He knew that when he picked you. He picked you the way you were, and he's going to start immersing his love for you. And just picture him jumping in your pool. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well. Please, come on, somebody give him crazy praise. I dare you to praise him. Hey! Woo! Shout, he's a good, good father. Stand up with me and say, he's a good, good father. Come on, all campuses, he's a good, good father. He loves me. Shout, I'm loved. I'm favored. I'm anointed. I'm qualified. He loves me. I love him. I dedicate my life to you, Jesus. Do what you want in my life. Baptize me with the Spirit of God. Baptize me in my mind, in my body. And God, I separate myself from the world and I bond myself, cut covenant with you, Lord, that you will do what you said you would do in my life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, give God praise, all campuses. One more time, give him praise. I feel like something.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.